For 34 years, Maui's Pacific Primate Sanctuary has been home to monkeys, marmosets, and tamarin monkeys that are not native to the islands. Many of them have been kept in cages and will live out their lives here in Hawaii. Catherine Cruz visited the facility in upcountry Maui to understand its place in the community. She talked with Lucy Wormser, who established the facility in Haikou, which is permitted by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
The animals are given green environments. When they come here, many of them never saw the sky, and they never saw green life. They lived in environments where they were not able to be who they are.
So many of these monkeys came from laboratories?
Many came from laboratories. Some were pets in people's homes. Some were at tourist attractions. Most of the monkeys that we have are from the Amazon rainforest. They wound up in laboratories through no fault of their own. And when the laboratories stopped the study, they couldn't just euthanize them as they do with 100,000 primates a year. They had to be sent somewhere because many of them are on the endangered species list.
They aren't allowed to kill these monkeys after they do their experiment.
Legally, they're not allowed because of some USDI regulations. So they try to find a place, and then sometimes we have to provide the shipping crates. And we had a very bad experience, the last one, from a laboratory in the Midwest, which sent two endangered cotton-top tamarins. And between L.A. and Honolulu, the animals died. And that's made it very difficult for us to bring, in the past 3 years, for us to bring any more animals in. It's been terribly painful to think of that, to get a call from quarantine in Honolulu that the two monkeys in the cage are laying on the ground with blood coming out of their mouths. And there was nothing that the airline addressed, despite the fact that the USDA and a lot of people were trying to find out what had happened. So there isn't a clean, direct route here as there used to be.
And so these monkeys come in by air?
Yes, they come on. I used to use the PetSafe program, which we had to pay extra for, which supposedly ensured they're being carried, hand carried. But despite that, they didn't make it from LA to Honolulu.
So you put a pause on that?
It weighs heavily on all of us that happened. But we have young volunteers who have come from all over the world, and some of them are inspired to try again, to contact the labs and let them know we're accepting animals. We have space.
What's the count up to now?
There are 40 animals there. They're mostly tamarins and marmosets, who are the small arboreal, they live high in the trees, little monkeys from the rainforest. And that's the sounds that you hear, are those high, wonderful sounds that they communicate with each other and tell each other where they are, what they're eating, if there's a hawk overhead, if it's raining. And some of their sounds are just amazing music. Galatea, one of the saddleback tamarins who came from a laboratory, sings. I mean, her sounds are extraordinary. And she's old. She's 22. She's been living here for 10 years. And in all of the textbooks, the oldest that marmosets and tamarins get is 15 years old, and she's 21. So we have to specialize their diets, and a lot of them are geriatric at this point. So they need to be kept warm, and they need special diets. And most of our interns and volunteers have been trained in emergency care and in advanced emergency care. We have a wonderful veterinarian in Makawao named Dr. Butler, who's been incredible researching and going out of his way to make it possible to give support to the animals as they age. But to see them come from a space where they aren't even in their own body, so to speak, and where they become who they were meant to be, has been the greatest experience of my life, and I think it's what touches all the volunteers.
And you have a pretty incredible volunteer program set up where they actually live here at the facility and so really get to understand the animals.
It's a resident program, and people come from all over the world. It's become kind of a competitive program. So we have people on the waiting list. But we select people who have experience caring for exotics, but we teach them how to care for exotic animals from the very beginning and how to even manage a sanctuary at the end, if that's what they if they choose to stay extra. And the community, the Pacific Primate Sanctuary community, is a community of hearts. Nobody's doing it for money or to get prestige. It's all about aloha aina. It's about the values that are here in our native land. And those values are really part of what make the sanctuary amazing. The view of an animal as a sentient being, as a being who's like us, as equal, is a unique idea in our time, even at this point, when we've been through racism and sexism already, and they have names now. And we've never dealt with speciesism, which is the belief that our species is superior to every other being on the planet, which allows us to exploit everything on the earth, and which in the end may leave us just with humans and cockroaches, because I don't think the environment can survive with the attitude that it's all here for the taking and you don't have to give anything back.
So the monkeys are your way of giving.
The monkeys are my way of being able to look in the mirror in the morning and have my breakfast. So if I'm using resources from the earth, I have to give back to the earth, which is also a Hawaiian concept.
You mentioned a special diet. What do they eat?
Well, we grow an organic vegetable garden, the interns do, and it's splendid. It has, thanks to Alan Arakawa last year, he gave us some funds to be able to expand our garden, and it's producing amazing amount of vegetables. We have a huge fruit orchard, so all through the year there's fresh, organically grown fruits and vegetables, which are carefully cut up and prepared, along with a balanced diet for the species that we have, which we purchase and is sent to us.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering about that, if there were special foods that maybe they had where they're from originally that we don't have here.
Many of the plants that they would be exposed to in their natural environments, relatives of those plants do grow here. As a matter of fact, some of the marmosets are gamivorous. They go on the tree and make a little rectangular hole. They have special teeth to do that. And then an exudate comes out of the tree, which is like a gooey, clear, sweet.
Like a sap.
It's actually the tree's Band-Aid. It's the tree trying to fix the rectangular hole. And the marmosets will live on that in the months that there's no fruit and vegetables in the wild. Or fruits, they wouldn't be eating vegetables, right. But plant material.
But they now have it year-round.
Well, we planted some of those gum trees that were grown here in Hawaii, actually. And the food that they eat has all of the nutrition. Missouri is the company that we buy the food from. It's a balanced diet, so they're getting everything they need aside from fruits and vegetables that we grow.
So essentially, though, you are licensed by the USDA and their regulations about, you know, their care. You're particular about, you know, making sure that, you know, they don't get exposed to things that could threaten their health.
I wrote some of those regulations that are in the Animal Welfare Act. I was approached to describe how to care for the marmosets and tamarins. I don't think the USDA helps us, really. Mm-hmm. It's a licensing agency that we pay money to. But we've learned how to provide expert care on our own, and we've really become primatologists over 30 years of learning what they need to fulfill their own lives and be able to use their bodies. For example, the two spider monkeys up there never brachiated, and that's the way they move in the forest, which is hand over hand. And they never had an enclosure that was long enough to move their bodies in the way that they were built to move their bodies. And so we built a 40-foot long enclosure planted with trees and flowers and vines. And the first time we saw Carlos put his hand up and realize he could put his hand, his next hand up in his next, and suddenly he was moving like he was meant to move. It's chicken skin.
That was Lucy Wormser of Maui's Pacific Primate Sanctuary talking about what inspired her to found the center. The facility, which is not open to the public, is located in Haiku, and it survives by donations and volunteers. To learn more, you can find links on our webpage at hawaiipublicradio.org.